With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the rollout of coronavirus vaccines has been slower than was hoped for.
Hopefully, as you get into the first couple of weeks in January, the gaining of momentum will get us to the point where we want to be. But there really has to be a lot more effort in the sense of resources for the locals, namely the states, the cities, the counties, the places where the vaccine is actually going into the arms of individuals.
Fauci appearing on NBC News today. Meanwhile, authorities still trying to figure out how two cases of the coronavirus variant circulating in England arrived in the U.S. Also at SRNNews.com, there have been long waits for people to get their hands on the vaccine, but in Wisconsin, hundreds of doses have been wasted.
A health system in Wisconsin says 500 doses of the coronavirus vaccine had to be thrown out because they were left unrefrigerated. And now the Aurora Medical Center in Grafton says it turns out it wasn't an accident. It says the employee involved acknowledged intentionally removing the vaccine from refrigeration. No motive has been provided. Aurora says the worker has been fired and referred to the authorities. I'm Jackie Quinn.
U.S. weekly jobless totals claim 787,000. That's versus 828,000.
New unemployment filings fell to 787,000 during a holiday week clouded with the uncertainty around impending changes to benefit payments, according to the Labor Department. The level of claims has held above 800,000 in recent weeks, their highest level since the early fall and almost four times their pre-pandemic average. Still, they remain well below the peak of nearly 7 million in late March, when the majority of states first issued stay-at-home orders to slow the spread of COVID-19. Bernie Bennett reporting.
This is SRN News.
For your Thursday, this last day of the year, a mix of sun and clouds with a high 78. Tonight, New Year's Eve, mostly cloudy, low 65. Friday, New Year's Day, the first day of 2021, partly sunny and warm, high 81. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 64. And Saturday, we'll start the weekend mostly cloudy, high 79.
Challenge your authority, because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up. Until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
Hey, this is Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and Taylor and I are going to be out for the next few weeks, but we return January 4th, so enjoy these best of programs on SWAT Radio. Keep listening, and we'll be back January 4th with live programs on SWAT Radio. Have a Merry Christmas.
Sequence time. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy, Doug McCary, coming to you live from the Salem Center in Jacksonville, Florida. Sunny Jacksonville, Florida, by the way. It's about 90 degrees outside, Doug.
Oh, it's hot, man.
And I'm in my short sleeve shirt. I'm just trying to look like you guys. You and Chris wear it well.
Oh, no, I'm in shorts, man, because we're on radio.
Well, you know, usually I come in with my dress shirt on, my name tag on. I look like I've been working, so I just wanted to make you guys feel comfortable today. But, man, I'm excited about today. We've got an amazing guest who's going to call in here in just a few minutes.
Not only is he an incredible communicator, but he's one of the funniest guys I know. He cracks me up, man. He gets me laughing all the time. He comes in and he just gets the audience, that he gets them fired up, man. He's kind of like a coach, but he's I don't know. He's a preacher. He's a coach. He's a preacher. He's a motivator. He is a great guy. And I'm just so privileged to be able to have spent some time with him. And I know you got to spend a little time with him, too. And he's just he's been a great encouragement to me just to hang around him some. And I met him through Men at the Cross. I think you did, too, when he was going around speaking. But he has spoken at Liberty University, at schools, at I think at, you know, the – what is it called? The farmers thing, the FF, you know what I'm
FFA
talking about? Yeah, FFH or something like that. I don't know. He's spoken everywhere, man. He has spoken all over. He's preached, spoken in sports venues. He was a chaplain for Texas A&M Aggies.
Now, was he an Aggie?
You know, I'm not sure. That's a good question to ask him, though. Right. But I know he was their chaplain for a while.
I know, and Chris is like, you know, he's all excited over there. He's got his Florida State thing going.
Yeah, and what you may not know is that he had a career in television news. He was a news guy, and so he's got his doctorate. He's a guy. I mean, his doctorate, preaching. I think it was before he got into preaching. So these are some good questions that we can ask him. But he was a professor too, and he's kind of got that professor thing. He's sitting around. I could see him sitting around with C.S. Lewis and those kind of guys talking, having a good conversation. I think he enjoys doing that kind of stuff.
Well,
so,
I was going to say, I think I remember when he was here during the Men at the Cross. I think the first year we did Men at the Cross downtown at First Baptist, and Rick was, Joe had Rick come in and share. And, even today when we have him on the radio, it won't do it justice till you see this guy preach.
Oh, I know. He's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of energy, and he's a great father, great husband, and just a great follower of Jesus, which is, I know, is his greatest desire, is to be like Jesus, because I've heard him say that many, many times, make me like Jesus. That's what he wants. And so we're happy to have him. Rick, welcome to SWAT Radio.
I can't tell you how excited I am to be with you folks. Doug, it's great to talk to you again. Brad, the last time I saw you, you were making me late to catch a plane.
Hey, Rick, so I remember, of course, my sons have grown up quite a bit since then. One of them's married, one of them's off at college in Nashville. But we were talking after we dropped you off that day, and I think one of my sons said, you know, God, Dad, I think God really gave certain people a great sense of humor. And you left such an impression on my boys that I will always remember you, not only a great communicator, not only a man who loves God, but a guy who has a great sense of humor and can just make anybody laugh. I was just telling Doug, I wish everybody could just hear you preach, because you're so engaging, and I'm so glad to have you on the show today.
Well, Brad, that's very kind of you. You know, I have two quick thoughts. The first one is, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I grew up in a predominantly black family. And I think that when I was growing up, I've always been kind of heavy, chubby. We used to call it husky back in the 60s. But anyway, I remember being in the second and third grade and just being bullied for being fat. And I remember coming home and the wisdom of a godly mother and father. My mother would say, baby, here's the goal. You make them laugh before they laugh at you. And I thought, tried it and it worked. And now I go all over the world and do it. And I find that it gives people such a joy. And so I really love bringing a smile to people's faces. I really do. Second thought I have is this. Just like probably y'all, when God calls you to ministry, I had 800 reasons why I did not want to be a preacher. And after God heard them all, he said, but this is what you're going to do. And I said, Lord, then if I'm going to be a preacher, I want to make sure that the 7-year-old, the 8-year-old, the 10-year-old, and the 12 and 15-year-old that's in that sermon will not be bored. Because I was bored out of my mind when I was coming up in church. I mean, trying to pull ladies' wigs off, trying to figure out what I could do to keep myself awake. And so I think, you know, that notion of always remembering that you're not talking to 40-year-olds only or 60-year-olds only, but trying to be relevant forces you to, I think, be interesting at the least. And I thank God for the gift of humor.
Well, you know, Rick, I think if Jesus were around, he would never be accused, if he was walking physically like he did 2,000 years ago, he would never be accused of being boring.
Absolutely not.
You know, I don't think that descriptive would have fit him when he walked the earth.
You know, our picture is he's at a barbecue at your backyard, Brad, and he's sitting in a corner praying. No!
Yeah.
His brother would be grilling burgers and laughing and, yeah. And enjoying the fact that you can't tell a story right out of the Psalms. Yeah. I mean, he would be enjoying himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're to be filled. Hey, listen to this, guys. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness today. Because them suckers had no joy when they came to my college door. You know, I'm smoking weed and getting high, and I hear a knock on the door, and they go, hello, have you heard the good news? Well, I don't want to hear the good news from you. You couldn't possibly have any good news. I'm already depressed. Why do I want to go to your church?
Exactly. Oh, man, that is so true. Well, you know, Rick, I think about Jesus.
All the Jehovah's Witness out there, I love y'all, and there's still a chance.
There's still a chance. Rick, I was thinking about how Jesus is, you know, calling out to his disciples who are out in the boat, and he's over there cooking breakfast for them. Anybody can cook fish for breakfast. That's the kind of guy I want to hang with.
That's a chef, man, right there. If he can make fish edible for breakfast.
Now, the only thing better would be some Texas barbecue, right?
Now, wait a minute. Had to bring up barbecue because...
Yeah. You remember that place you took me to, Doug?
I took Rick. Now, Rick tells a story a lot better than me, but tell him, Rick. I mean, how many guys that are white have told you about a good barbecue place in your entire life?
I'm the only one. You run from white people who talk to you about barbecue. Hey, pal, we got a great place in our neighborhood in a strip mall. Gee, Minutely, I hope you can come in. Are you kidding me? So I'm real skeptical when Doug is talking about barbecue, but, you know, he wears a gun, so I followed him. And so anyway, we go to this place, and first of all, when you go there, you got black folks cooking. Now let me just be as far from being politically correct as possible. When I go to a Chinese restaurant, I don't want to see white folks cooking. You hear what I'm saying? I don't want to see a big sweaty black man cooking at a Chinese restaurant. And so we go to this restaurant. Remember, Doug? And you got black folks cooking and sweating, baby.
I already know where you took me.
They wanted us to sample their smoked bologna. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Before we even got to the ribs. This is before we even got to the meat. And let me just put it to you like this, Brad. They had to kind of ask us to leave. We stayed so long.
Well, we didn't want to leave.
It was so good, man. What was the name of that place?
It was Jenkins Barbecue. It's one of the best barbecue places in town. It's really, really good.
Yes, sir. Jenkins Barbecue. Shout out to Jenkins. I hope they're listening.
Yeah, that's some good barbecue. And well, you realize I've
only been on the air 5 minutes. I've offended Jehovah's Witnesses. I've offended Chinese people.
Hey, by the way, I have 5 Chinese daughters too, man. I took offense at that.
I know you do. But isn't it, Brad and Doug? Isn't it true? You go to a Chinese restaurant, you don't want to see a bunch of black and white people back there cooking.
No.
Am I right?
No.
Yeah. That's so, you know.
Well, it's like you don't want to go to a nice restaurant and the chef come out and he about 125 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, I want that boy to have a little girth on him, if you know what I mean.
Talk to me.
Oh, my goodness. Now we've offended overweight people, too. Come on. We're going to have the FCC on us here pretty soon.
I are one. You know, I are one, too.
Yeah, well, it looks like I know. Although, Rick, last time I saw you, you had dropped a lot of weight, man. I mean.
I have. Yeah. I have.
Yeah. How's that going? Been going good?
It's going well. I finally got smart and started listening to the Lord and listening to wisdom and realizing that probably going through life at 400 pounds is not a good idea.
Yeah.
I just started using discipline, and community is really important. I think having a family or friends go through it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got my weight under control, feel much better. I still travel quite a bit, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be worn out after a couple of days on the road. And so can I just encourage the people for a moment?
Yeah.
Instead of being overwhelmed, just try one thing at a time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe just more water.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just just a couple of steps walking. Hmm. I think for me, I was just overwhelmed. We're inundated. We live in an information-oriented society, and that inundation renders us to say things like, I can't do that. Hmm. And so I had to change my mindset that all things are possible, but maybe one step at a time. It's amazing what would happen if you just started drinking more water.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's amazing what would happen if you just started walking for a few minutes, and then just go from there.
You know, Rick, I needed the reminder. I'm not way overweight. I'm a little overweight, and I've struggled from time to time. Getting in your 50s, for some reason, some people say it's 40s, but for me it was in my 50s where I started to realize I'm carrying around 10, 15, 20 pounds, and
sure.
Trying to lose that, I realized, man, I have a real idol of pleasure. That pleasure,
yes,
for me is food.
It might be that box of Krispy Kreme donuts you eat every day.
Oh, glory to God.
Talk to me.
Glory to God.
Talk to me.
You know, I tell you, I really I went through a period of my life where I needed to be delivered from Krispy Kreme. Glory to God.
We live in a time where everybody's got to take a picture of their food and post it somewhere.
We got a friend that calls them little angels. The little angels of donuts. They're little angels, man.
Hey, but Rick, you know, I know you spend a lot of time in Texas, as has Doug. So we wrestle, at least in our family, because I'm originally from Houston, went to college at TCU, moved to Florida almost 20 years ago. Barbecue, good donuts from Shipley's. Remember Shipley's donuts?
Oh, my gosh.
Those things just melted in your mouth. It's like cotton candy.
Oh, I cannot believe you just said that.
Yeah, it's cotton candy with a hole in it.
Rick's going to go out after this interview, and he's going to go.
Hey, Rick, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to prove that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you have the Spirit.
Yes,
you know, you have self-control. One of those fruits is self-control, right?
You know, we live in the Dallas area, and we lived for years where Texas A&M is located,
which
is in College Station. Every time we go to College Station, our boys insist that we go to Shipley's Donuts. That is one of the places that we have to go to. But I will tell you guys, those are great donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't even concentrate because y'all got me thinking about donuts and barbecue.
Hey, aren't you glad you came on the air with us?
Deep spiritual discussion.
By the way, you have two sons, right? Or three?
No, I have four.
Four sons.
Yeah. But
you have two at home, the other two outside of the home now?
Yes, I that's exactly right. Our oldest is 34, all the way down to our 16-year-old, who y'all need a son. No, he's a good
kid.
Chris said he'll take it.
I don't know about rearing girls, but I know about boys.
Well, I can tell you about girls, man. You got the boys, I got the girls, man.
I got both.
Well, my wife tells me that girls are a bit more of a challenge.
Oh.
But I know about boys, and when they reach a certain age, for some boys it's 12, some it's 13, some it's 14, they might as well just come to the dinner table and say, hey, look here, Mom and Dad, this common sense thing, I'm going to check out for a few years, and I get back with y'all on the downside.
Yeah.
They grow some hair under their arms, and the next thing you know, they're in the outer limits to quote a 1960s television show.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone, man. That's
the
where
Twilight
they are.
Zone.
Rod Serling. Hey, Rick, well, you know, you and I haven't talked for a while. I mean, we talked briefly, but at my house, I have five daughters at home now. I got my mother-in-law who lives with us, and I have two female dogs. I'm the only testosterone-producing individual in my whole house. And so,
and then he comes into the studio, and we got to listen to it.
Yeah, we just unwind here. But hey, you know, you and I remember you being very professorial when we were together. I told Brad earlier that I could see you sitting around with C.S. Lewis having conversations. You used to get together, if my memory's right, with a group of guys in your backyard, didn't you? And just y'all would talk politics, you'd talk
the alley cats. Kind of, we still do.
Yeah, do you? You still do that?
Yeah, the alley cats. You know, Doug, I'm so glad you brought that up. Man, that started with one of the things I miss about being in an academic environment is that the multiple foci of ideas, and it's okay to disagree, and it's okay to have good discussion. And, you know, a lot of folks in the church are just dumb. I wish I could dress that up. Just dumb. And you know, I, a part of my goal is to just encourage the church of today, read. grow, challenge yourself, take a class online, do anything to stop entropy from setting in. Entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, is just anything made up of a physical matter is in the process of decay and eventual chaos. One of the things that attracted me to you, Doug, you're a thinker. You are a real thinker. And, you know, you have this unbelievably eclectic background that at the centerpiece is your military flying. Mm-hmm. And so it reminded me of when I used to be part of a group of faculty members and we would have lunch once a week. And so I'm at Texas A&M, I'm talking to one of the top engineers in the nation and a guy that does parks and recreation research. He's teaching me how different ethnicities use public and private spaces differently. Mm. And then you have a mathematician over here, and if you can think like a mathematician, you will see the world in a very different way. And my background is in communication, and I'm helping them to look at how the media attempts to construct reality in society and what to look for and how to listen. And then I move away, and there's a void. And I meet some Aggies, some former students, and we start the same thing, but around politics. Uh-huh. Most of us are conservative, but we love our demon-possessed Democrat friends. And so we bring them in, that's just a joke.
I know it's a joke. It is a joke.
In fact, I've been telling my church members, take a Democrat to lunch. You may have to pay, but take them to lunch. It's okay.
And so by the way, the expressed views of our guest today do not reflect the views of this station or of SWAT Radio. I just want to throw that disclaimer out there.
It might be a little late for that, baby.
But
you know, what's interesting is we try to, even after saying that, and believe me, I was only joking, we invite independents, we invite Democrats, Republicans. My son is one of the smartest people I know, diehard liberal. Diehard. Worked on Capitol Hill for 8 years.
Well, that's his problem. There you go. That's why he's a liberal.
But
right?
listen to me. The point is not agreement.
Yeah.
The point is engaging your mind and thinking, and watch this, everyone. Watch this. Here's the goal. Is my response going to be a reformation of what I heard on Fox or CNN or read out of USA Today? Is it anecdotal information, or am I speaking from a factual or a moral perspective or a value-based perspective? And so,
or a logically conceived perspective where you actually think about things and
you
reason.
Brad, I want to tell you and Doug this, and I don't need to tell you, and I really want our listeners to hear this. So much of what we hear in the course of a day is shallow, superficial, regurgitated diatribe that does nothing but seek to entertain us.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a challenge for all of the listeners. Ask a simple question, the same question, to 10 people. You will be shocked at the poor quality of the answers you will receive.
Oh my gosh,
if you receive an answer at all. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a rhetorician. My life for 20 years as a scholar, it was words. And so I'm listening carefully to the way that people respond. I will purposely ask a person a question. You might not even have the question answered. And so getting back to your point, Doug, those alley cats, we would discuss politics. We would discuss every facet of healthcare, every facet. And what I love is to be able to completely, totally disagree with my independent brother or my libertarian brother or my conservative brother or my liberal brother and get up at the end of the night and be brothers.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Well, you know, Rick, I lead groups to Israel every year. I've been leading for the last couple of years. I've been taking groups over to Israel. And as I've gone over there, the guide that takes us around is a Christian guy who is very knowledgeable about history. He was a history teacher before he got into being a guide. And we talk a lot about the Jewish history and the Jewish people, the rabbis, that was one of the things that drove them was strong disagreement. And it was that iron sharpens iron. It was going together in disagreement. And that's how they learned and they could come together. You know, they could have these strong disagreements and it wasn't a negative thing. But we've gotten to a place in our culture where we can't do that anymore.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just saying that's part of the issue with our culture in America now is you can't disagree with somebody without them labeling you, some putting a label on you. And even if you've got good reason, good argument, you've thought things through, just because you disagree, it automatically disqualifies you from the conversation.
You really said it. At our church, we have it's an integrated congregation, probably 60% white, and then maybe 65% white, and then African American and Hispanic. So you might can gather that this election season was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And as pastors, we had to ask ourselves, what do we do? Because we have some in our congregation saying, if you vote for Donald Trump, you're a racist. Mm-hmm. And then we have some in our congregation saying that if you vote for Hillary Clinton, you're putting in a cheat and a person that breaks the law in the office. And one of the things that we had to force our people to do was move beyond labels and point them in the direction of the Bible.
Yes.
That seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Look, vote through the lens of the Bible. And one of the things I tried to do was tell people, no matter how heated this is no big deal. Mm. And they would go, Pastor Rick, are you kidding? Yes. I'm not kidding. There was a squabble in Scripture that makes Trump and Clinton look like child's play. Where is it, Pastor Rick? Acts chapter 15, Council of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
The fact that Peter didn't want anything to do with those, there's no way we're going to have Gentiles. There's no way, you bunch of retrobates. There ain't no way, right?
Yeah.
And we all know that. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even be Christians right now. But at some point, somebody said, let's reason together. Let's read a scripture, pray, and reason together. And they came to the conclusion that Jesus' arms were stretched wide enough to include not just Jews, but Gentiles, not just liberals, but conservatives, not just perfect Christians, you know, the Nazarenes that are listening, but other folks, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rick, listen, this is Doug McCary.
I'm sorry, Nazarenes.
No, it's all right. We've
y'all.
Offended them. Why not
you
just offend everybody else?
We're equal opportunity offenders.
I'm Doug McCary of His Light Ministries here with Brad Sykes, and we're with Dr. Rick Rigsby today. Rick is got his master's from California State University in Chico, followed by his doctorate from the University of Oregon. Rick, what'd you get your doctorate in?
You forgot my other master's, which is more important.
Oh, we're Master's of Divinity.
Liberty University.
Liberty.
Yeah. I'm a flame.
He's a flame.
I say that on the air, Brother Falwell sends me a check. I'm a flame. I'm a flame. I'm a flame.
Well, I was going to say flamer, but that didn't sound right, so I didn't.
Hey, we'll throw those in there, too.
Hey, but Rick, take us real quick from being a because we got about 3 minutes before the break, in the news break. So you were at a CBS affiliate out in California. You did the news, right? You were a news reporter, correct?
Right.
All right. How did you get from there to going into ministry? Take us down that path just a little bit.
First of all, Doug, 3 minutes means nothing to me. You just might as well tell the guy in the control room to just punch a button, because I ain't going to even be close to being finished.
Let me trust me.
We're getting started. We got 2 minutes.
You ain't dealing with your average white guest. Let me just put it to you like that, baby.
Okay. I got you. All right.
All righty. So listen to this, man. I'm a news reporter, and it is so obvious that God is all over me, and I want to serve him on my terms. Then I leave television because I'm really wanting to be a family man, and I find so much of what I was doing objectionable.
Hmm.
Let me insert. Christians are needed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Strong Christians are needed. Don't avoid the media. Hmm. We need Christians in the media. I preach
Amen.
That all the time.
Yeah.
So I find myself in graduate school, and I'm hearing, after years of being in television, and I'm hearing God calling me to preach the gospel. And I minimize his words, and I reduce his words, and I say, there is no way on earth. And then the dean of a Bible school in Eugene, Oregon, I was getting my PhD at the University of Oregon, dean of a Bible school. Tell me when I got 30 seconds, Doug.
Okay, I'll give you a 30-second cue.
Okay. The dean of a Bible school, Cheryl DeBay and her husband, who was a professor there, Jack DeBay, they saw an anointing on me that I didn't even see. And he said, Rick, we're going to be gone for the weekend. Would you teach our Sunday school class? And I'm barely at the church. And I've already made a deal with God. I'll come on Sunday morning, but I'm a PhD student, God. So I'll serve you for 2 hours on Sunday, but I can't be going on Sunday night. I can't be going to church on Wednesday night. I'm a PhD student. I'm in that 1% of the most brilliant people in the world. Okay? Period. And so I'm making these deals with God. I teach that Sunday school lesson, and it was like God hit me
you got 30.
Over the head. Yep, it's like he hit me over the head, and I basically, in the middle of a PhD program, completely collapsed and surrendered to God. Now here I am, second-year PhD student, responding to a call to ministry.
That's awesome.
That's great. We're going to take a quick break. Rick, thanks for breaking, taking a breath there.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. California has surpassed 25,000 deaths from coronavirus. The state became the third in the U.S. to reach the number behind Texas and New York. The grim milestone comes as the state experiences a surge that has swamped hospitals with COVID-19 patients in Southern California and the agricultural San Joaquin Valley. A winter storm moving across parts of Texas and Oklahoma, dumping snow in places before moving eastward and possibly spawning tornadoes. The National Weather Service says 12 to 18 inches of snow in southwestern Texas is possible. Some snow in northwest Arkansas also. A magnitude 3.6 earthquake has jolted the San Francisco Bay Area. That quake struck around 5:40 a.m. local time this morning. There were no reports of any damage or injuries. This is SRN News.
Let's say you've
For your Thursday, this last day of 2020, a mix of sun and clouds. Expect a high 78. Tonight for New Year's Eve, mostly cloudy, low about 65. Friday on New Year's Day, partly sunny, will start out warm, high 81. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low 64. And Saturday will start the weekend mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, high 79.
When you get a little discouraged or you wonder if God is involved in your life, go back and see what he's already done for you. He hasn't changed and he's not going to change. You can count on it.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah as he shares a series of special messages for the new year. Next time on Turning Point.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Chris, thanks for implementing that great music there.
Macho man.
Well, you know,
we got the macho man, Big Papa on the other end, Rick Rigsby.
I was thinking about Ecclesiastes 3. It says a time to weep and a time to laugh. This is a time to laugh. We've had a great time here with our brother, Dr. Rick Rigsby from Dallas, Texas. Rick, welcome back. And SWAT Radio, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth, Practical Relevant Teaching from God's Word. Thursday is our guest Thursday. We've got one of the best guests we could possibly ask for. Like I said, Dr. Rick Rigsby, good to have you back.
I am so excited to be on y'all's show. Didn't you have one of our former players at A&M on your show?
Yeah, Jason Webster. Jason Webster.
I love that young man.
Jason has called back. Actually, yeah, we've had him on right before the Falcons went into the NFC Championship. He called, right. and we talked to him. You know, I got to do their chapel when they came down. That's how I met Jason. And what a great young man. In fact, I think I called you afterwards because I was telling him about, I asked him if he knew you. From, you know, being at A&M, and he said yes, and he wanted to get your contact info, so I called you. I remember talking to you about that. He's a phenomenal guy, and he is really on fire for the Lord right now, which is really good.
So. I know that your listeners enjoyed hearing about Jason. He was one of those that we mentored at A&M. Hmm. I'll never forget his mom and dad. Riley Webster is his dad. Brother Risby, a godly man. Brother Risby, not Rigby, Brother Risby. You look after our son, and I can tell you on the air, Jason is one of about three in all my years at A&M, one of two or three of the most godly young men. He was a virgin. And he would, I'm sure he said it on your show, and lived it. I did the chapel service for the 49ers when Jason was playing corner, and I was with Bill Walsh in Bill Walsh's suite when Jason made his very first NFL interception.
Oh my!
And Coach Walsh said, "That's your boy, isn't it?" I said, "That's our guy."
That's cool.
And it was a really special moment to celebrate it. Jason took me to the San Francisco House of Prime Rib, and the brother paid for it.
Hey, that's better than Jenkins Barbecue.
It tastes a lot better when somebody else pays for it, too, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It tastes, I was happier than a pig in mud that night. Because, you know, you watch those kids come in at 17 and 18, and then you see them, many of them, grow into men, and in Jason's case, a godly man. And look what he's doing now, mentoring these young players with the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
I am so proud of Jason, I don't know what to do.
Listen, Rick, I've done quite a few NFL chapels. When I did their chapel, they had 26 guys, including the GM, came in.
Wow.
I've never had a GM come to a chapel. And I know
when did you do that chapel?
It was a year ago. It was a year and a half ago. It was not last season, but the season before last. And
the reason why I ask is because you know that GM, you know where he comes from. He comes from Bill Belichick's tree.
Oh, really?
They were all on the staff in Cleveland in 95. And the GM and the assistant GM for Atlanta, that's significant that they are there, because it says something very powerful about Atlanta's organization. I've never had a GM come to chapel.
Well, of course, I'm no Doug either. Stop it. Listen, you've done a lot of chapels. Have you ever had 26 guys there? I mean, that's half the team, man. And it's because
I
Jason.
I usually get the water boy and the third string punter.
But it was because Jason has invested in these guys, you know, and that's why they came. And speaking of investing, you know, we met through Men at the Cross, and I'm so grateful to Joe White, who had the vision for the one-to-one and getting that out there and doing that. It really impacted me, Rick, because in fact SWAT, Spiritual Warriors Adventure and Truth, these five Bible studies I do in town, were really a direct result from that ministry impacting me. And I know you feel very strongly about that. I've heard you speak about it at other things, talking about mentoring and having mentors in your own life. And could you just take a moment and talk? I mean, you got a book called Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. And your dad, I know, taught you that that book was basically about your dad, right? And what he taught you?
Yeah. Let me answer your question by putting it in the context of Men at the Cross. You know, Joe's a great, great, great man of God, and he had a simple vision. I want to teach the church how to do discipleship. And so, as you remember, Doug, we went all over the country with talking about the Great Commission, and, you know, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Paul's legacy, the things which you've seen me do and say, do those things, teach others. And it was so life-changing to be part of that ministry for 5 years, because what we didn't realize, we entered as ministers, and I know you can relate to this, Doug, but we left as being disciples.
Yep.
And more of a greater commitment to discipleship, which is what we were doing at A&M. So here's the story. I'm a professor, really enjoying that season in my life in the early 90s. I meet on an airplane, I spot legendary football coach R.C. Slocum, who today is still one of my dearest friends. And I go up to him and I say, "Coach Slocum, I just want to tell you I like your character, your integrity." We talked for an hour. He was more concerned about me and my background in sports and as a sports reporter than he was about his football program. He literally hires me on the spot as something called a life skills coordinator. He said, you know, only the way coach, "Well, you see, I got all kinds of coaches, but I need a coach that can really..." And he talked about how he had a tight ends coach and he had a wide receivers coach, but he didn't have a coach that would teach proper etiquette, that would teach character and integrity, that would teach things like how you do anything is how you do everything, that it's never wrong to do the right thing. And it was a character coach of sorts, but it was more than just that. It was a life coach, teaching life skills that these kids could hang their hat on. And then he said this one line. Now tell me if this isn't biblical. He said, you know, I won't be remembered based on my wins and losses, but based on how my guys turn out. And so we fished for some kind of curriculum, a character curriculum. Back in the early 90s, as y'all know, there at a non-military school, there was no character curriculum. Now, A&M used to be a military school, but not any longer. So we contacted the Paternos at Penn State, Coach Osborne, couldn't find a character or a life skills program at all. We're having lunch one day, and I said, Coach, I know what you want. He goes, talk to me. I said, the wisest man I ever met in my life was my daddy, a third-grade dropout. He taught me things like, son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Don't judge people. Kind deeds are never lost. If you're going to do a job, do it right. Do you know that we took those simple lessons from a third-grade dropout, and we impacted a generation of football players? Our coaching staff, we tried to be men in front of those young people in terms of mentoring them. We challenged you to be men, but how could they be something they've never seen? Mm-hmm. So we started realizing that we needed to increase our influence as men around them. John Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Your ability to influence people within the sphere of your periphery will determine the impact that you have. We got too many people mentoring that really are not equipped to mentor. There has to be a godly commitment to another person. That means you got to deny yourself and think of others as more important. And that's what I tried to model at A&M, but it came with a cost. Here was the cost. When I first started mentoring, I'm trying to shove the gospel down their throats, because not only was I Coach Slocum's life skills coach, I was also the chaplain for A&M. Yeah. And I'm getting all kinds of resistance that first year. I talked, ironically, to that third grade dropout, and he said, boy, do you have a relationship with those kids? I go, well, no, I'm kind of doing it. He said, that's all he said. I went back and I just started developing a relationship. Guess what? The nature of sports means you're going to be high one day and
low the next. Mm-hmm.
It was like fish jumping in the boat. But it could not have taken place without a relationship. I would say to those of you that are in church congregations, resist the temptation to shove down all your knowledge into the minds of another man and walk with the man, flaws and all. Walk with them. Just walk with them. Love him where he is. Jesus had the most goofball group of guys.
that's true.
He just walked with them, ate with them, laughed with them, lived life with them. And boy, let me tell you something. There's something about that mentoring relationship that comes up. And those kids, they need it. They needed it so desperately. But my time at A&M was some of the richest time in my life. I was there from 92 to 2007 and was actively involved with the football program from about 95 until 2007.
Wow, 12 years. So that's a long time, Rick.
Man. So, Rick,
that's
a long time. You were there when Greg Mott was there, weren't you? Do you know Greg?
Greg is a dear friend. Yeah. Greg is a dear friend. Yeah. Greg and I were mentored by this man by the name of Dwight Edwards.
I know Dwight. Yeah, he's like one of the great 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 grandchildren of the original Dwight Edwards, right?
I mean, fifth generation grandson of Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, Jonathan Edwards.
Sermon is "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God."
Man,
yeah, and a wordsmith of the Bible. Deep follower of Jesus. And the thing that I love about Greg is that Greg never allowed his past to determine his future. Here's a kid that's a product of a single parent, and goes on to develop, at the time, the biggest Christian Bible study on a secular campus called Breakaway.
Yeah. Yep.
Still have it at Texas A&M. And so I knew Greg and spoke occasionally at Breakaway, and I've been privileged to speak at his church First Baptist Church in Houston, which is one of the great churches in America. I'm so proud of Greg. You talk about somebody that walks it. You talk about somebody that it's not about him. I remember Greg said this. Pastors, I want you to listen to this all over the nation. Greg said, my goal is to work myself out of a job. Now, you talk about mentoring the way God wants you to mentor. You see, here's the deal. Here's the problem with a lot of so-called mentors. It's about them. It's that Rick Rigsby who all he wants to do is shove his knowledge down somebody's throat. But now, when you change the paradigm and realize it ain't about me, it's about letting my light shine in such a way that men will be drawn to the Christ that's in me, that I'm literally here to work myself out of a job. You show me a man like that, and I'll show you a whole bunch of people following him. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Well, you know, Rick, as I'm sitting here listening to you, one of the things that drew me to you, because you and I have been around a lot of speakers. I mean, we have. We've been around a lot of people who get up on a stage and talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible. Unfortunately, you know, Steve Farrar told me this a long time ago. He said, Doug, there's good speakers are a dime a dozen. He said, don't be a good speaker. Burn for Jesus. And he said, you burn for Jesus, and that's what he wants. He just wants you. And you say basically the same thing. I want to be like Jesus. I just make me like him. And when you get up on stage, a lot of times I'll hear you say the times that I remember, you would make the sermon to yourself. Everybody else is just listening in. And that's what I try to do when I go in and study. I preach to myself more than anybody because it impacts me more than anybody. And, you know, when I was a Harrier pilot as an instructor, I didn't really learn how to fly that plane until I started being an instructor to students and teaching them. And when I started teaching them, that's really when I learned how to fly that plane.
Yeah.
And, isn't that a great analogy?
Yeah.
And to your former point, I can't learn anything from a perfect pastor.
Yeah.
I just can't. I don't want my pastor to tell me that, you know, he's got a club ministry and he was in the club last night. That's not what I'm not talking about. But I can't learn you like that club ministry.
The clubbing. He's clubbing, man.
Yeah.
I want to learn.
I
want to learn from broken men, right?
Yes.
I was thinking about that.
Can I give you guys a great quick story?
And sure.
You just tell me when I got 30 seconds.
All right.
You just said it. I want to learn from broken men. You know, Dwight used to constantly say to me, remember, Rick, Dwight Edwards is the reference. He used to say, oh, remember what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Just remember, just be broken. And if you're not, just keep living. You will be. And that's really my story, Doug, as both you and Brad know. But here's the story that I want to tell you. And if time allows, I'd like to tell you about my broken story and how God uses that. So I have had the privilege a couple times to speak at Dallas Theological Seminary. And on one occasion before Prof. Howard Hendricks, the great professor there, before he died, I wanted my honorarium to have lunch with Prof. Howard. And have you ever sat down with somebody and in 1 minute you knew that you would be feeding off that what was just said? In that 1 minute for the rest of your life, this is what he said. He said, "Rick, you just wowed him in seminary." So my chest is really puffed out right now as I'm listening to what's going to come next. And then he said these words. He said, "In a little while, we're going to have some sponsors come to the campus, and I will wow them." And so I'm wondering where this is going. And then he said these words. He said, "You know what the problem is with men like you and me? We have the tendency to listen to our own press." And you can't be effective for God if you're listening to your own press. If you don't believe me, make a long-distance call right now to Solomon.
Preach it. Preach
it. Yes, Lord.
Preach it.
Yes, sir, baby.
How many guys do you know? I can't even name them all on two hands that have fallen because of that very reason. They started believing
their
own press reports.
And, Doug, you and I saw them. You and I saw them up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And instead of condemning them, I pray for them to this day. And God would often say to me when I would get back on a plane, I would say, "Yeah, but God, they have a following, and they got book sales, and they're this and they're that." And I would hear the Lord say, I put that person in your life for a reason, son. If it's all about you, guess what I'm going to do? I'll just move right on to the next vessel.
Mm-hmm. And he does. You know, he most certainly will.
Yeah.
I think of Eli's sons, how he just moved from Eli's sons to Samuel. To Samuel. You know, Eli goes in there, and his sons were really the ones that were supposed to be taken over, and they crashed. And Eli, God already brought Samuel to sit to take up the mantle. But you know, Rick, I want to take, if people are listening, that you have such a good perspective.
What do you mean if?
No. I'm talking about. I know people are listening. I mean, I want people to call.
We just talking to ourselves.
No. No, but we have about 10 minutes left, and you have a great perspective, and you have a great background. And if people want to call in, I want to tell them the numbers: 904-401-1413, 844-777-7928 with Rick Rigsby. Dr. Rick Rigsby wrote the book Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout, a great book. You can get that on Amazon, by the way. Also, if you want Rick, if you're listening and you have a church out there and you have a men's ministry, men's event you want, call Rick Rigsby or go to rickrigsby.com, actually, and you can find out how to get Rick to come speak at your next event. Even if it's not a church event, even if it's a school event, Rick speaks at all different kinds of events. He's got, you know, he has such a varied background. He was a sportscaster, a newscaster. He was a professor at A&M. You were a professor at A&M, correct? Before you,
yes, sir.
Yeah, he was a professor at A&M. Speaks all over the country. So, if you're listening and you want to ask a question, I'd love for you to call in and have a chance to just ask to Rick and talk to him for a second. And we're just excited. We've been laughing here for about 45 minutes. It's been therapeutic for me. I don't know about you, but
man, been so good.
Doug, can I add something real quick?
Yes.
Especially viewer listeners. If you have lost a loved one, a child, a spouse, please call in. The greatest lesson I learned from that third grade dropout was to keep standing.
Mm.
I went to the casket of a wife 21 years ago.
Wow.
And so please call in if you feel like you have no hope or no reason for which to hope.
Okay.
Oh, I have a different perspective about trouble and problems.
Yes, you
please
do.
Please call in. Be encouraged.
Yeah. Rick has a great testimony that way. In fact, I'm just saying right now, we're going to have you back on. This is like therapy for me.
Hey, listen, wait, Brad and Doug, y'all need to check with your FCC people. You better check with the state. I'm sure the station manager is going, my God, who is this Negro? I mean, what in the world is going on here? How could this be happening in my radio station? I didn't sign up for this.
We got some clubbing music for you. Hey, we got a call.
We do have a call, Rick. We're going to actually have to shut our mouths and let you engage with a caller.
We got a guy from Virginia on the line. Who's speaking?
Hi, my name is Judd.
Hey, Judd.
Welcome to SWAT Radio,
how's
Judd.
Thanks.
You're on air with us and Dr. Rick Rigsby. You got a question for him?
I do have a question for him. I know that y'all have been talking about his first book. I wanted to check the status of his second book.
Uh-oh.
Judd, I'm so glad that you asked. It's the working title is Hope Again. And what I'm thank you so much. That's a great question. It was supposed to be out in March. Now we're looking to sometime this summer. And it's going to be published by Insight Publishing. And if you would just go to my webpage, we'll keep you updated, rickrigsby.com. Here's the premise of the book. I thought that hope was just an emotion that was relegated as a wish or a good feeling. Listen to the way that we use the word hope. I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope that everything works out okay with that job interview. But if Jesus is the hope of the world, that word hope is a transformative, active, deliberate, vibrant, emotive, alive variable that it's embedded in every one of our lives, and that we have really misrepresented the notion of hope. And hope is a transformative thing in the life of a believer. It is the prerequisite to faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now faith is the you guys know
the thing words, hope right? for. Yeah, I mean it is hope is what we're all about. I mean hope is
what we're all about. There won't be faith without hope.
Well, and hope
it's
is
the
not
substance of things. It's the faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
The evidence of things not seen.
And the
so
biblical...
if there's no hope, so listen to me. If there's no hope, there's no faith. And Judd, thank you for answering or asking that question. The book about hope will be out this summer, Lord willing.
Well, that's great. Judd, it was so good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you very much. I'm always glad to check in and hear Rick. I mean, he's been a blessing. I've been to a number of conferences where he's spoken in Lynchburg, and he, you know, he's worth the price of a mission for the 45 minutes that he speaks.
Amen to that.
Man,
amen.
Really
unless you take him to Jenkins Barbecue, then it costs a lot.
You better pay.
Judd, were you there last week? Weekend before last?
I was not able to be there, but I think that's the first one I've missed in several years.
Mm. Well, make sure you come up and say hi to me at my book table and mention SWAT Radio, and I'll be honored to give you a free book, a book on hope.
I appreciate that, Rick. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Judd. Thanks, Judd.
All right, y'all have a good rest.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, Rick, I'm looking
Bye-bye.
Forward to that book myself. I'm thinking about biblical hope is unchanging. It's not a circumstantial hope, you know?
That's right.
Hey, Rick.
You're exactly right. You're absolutely right.
Rick, we got about 3 minutes, and we haven't touched on this because I know you guys talked about politics, but coming at it from the perspective, I know you guys have talked about this in your Alley Cat Club. Where do you see, how can we as believers really impact right now our culture in this divisiveness that we see? I know you guys have probably discussed that. Give me your 2-minute elevator speech on that.
Model Jesus. And what Jesus would do is Jesus would talk. We need to talk. And when we talk, let's make sure that our talking is not divisive. For example, you know, I am African American. I worry when I see images on television, but it's not a matter of Black Lives Matter. If I'm reading the Bible correctly, it's all lives matter. And the presupposition when you hear Black Lives Matter is just one category of lives that may have been brutalized in the past. I'm not taking that away. But we live in the present, and all lives matter. What am I saying? Let's talk with one another without labels and without divisive tones
Amen.
And tenor. I think that is a good start, and guess where the starting place ought to be? The church.
Yes, that's right.
We are so divided in the church. Just because you voted for Donald Trump doesn't mean you're a racist. And just because you voted for Hillary Clinton doesn't mean you need a lobotomy. And we need to get over that.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I was joking about it at the beginning of the program, but I have encouraged members where I'm an associate pastor, I've encouraged our members, you ought to go out with a Republican.
Yeah.
You ought to go to lunch with a Democrat. Stop going to lunch with your same friends. Mm-hmm. Expand your horizons and territories. If I'm wrong, then Jesus doesn't interact with a Samaritan.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was thinking, that's what I was thinking of, Acts 1, verse 8, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Samaria was the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, and I even wrote down here, Rick, you know, that The Alley Cats, you know, is a great, because I've got some guys that I hang with as well, and we don't all think alike, we don't all talk alike. You know how often is you drive down your street, you see a different political sign than the one in your yard, and you immediately kind of go, I would never engage with that person, and
right.
yet, how does that line up with Scripture? You know,
you're right. So Brad, listen to this. Bottom line. Jesus didn't walk through Jerusalem with earbuds in his ears, with blinders over his eyes.
George.
Now, the disciples did.
Hey,
the disciples saw the woman and immediately said, I judge you to have no eternal significance. We're going away.
Hey, Rick, we got 30 seconds. We got one more caller. George, you're on the line with Dr. Rick Rigsby. What's your question, real quick?
Yeah, my question is this. Doc, what is your motivation every morning besides getting up and working hard and moving around for God and your family? What What other thing motivates you?
Great question, George. It's found in Deuteronomy. It's my life verse. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is my motivation for living
and
every
Rick,
single day.
Just so you know, we're going out right now, but George is Clarence from Dallas. He just wanted to come in.
Hey, Clarence, that's my... He's a master barbecue eater.
Hey, we got 10 seconds. I'm so glad to connect you two because I love you both. I got to eat breakfast
love
with you,
Clarence.
Both. Hey, we're out of here, SWAT Radio.
SWAT
Thank
Radio.
You, Dr. Rick Rigsby. You're awesome. Have a great day, and we will get you back.
Amen, brother. Take
I love
care.
You guys.
Love you, Rick.
Love you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Love
right.
you all.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, Clarence.
Bye.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how...
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.